Siding Unlimited, named the best window installers, not just here, but in the whole USA. Get the best. Siding Unlimited, 5-time winner as America's best window installer. For windows you call Siding Unlimited, first and directly, SidingUnlimited.com.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee, it's Wisconsin's Midday News, making stories come to life. Now, here are your hosts, Greg Matzik, and in for Jessica Tai, it's Telly Hughes.
Greg and Telly with you till 3 o'clock this afternoon. Hope your Christmas was great. Were you local? Did you have to go anywhere? Were you among the millions flying through the skies or on the roadways?
I think that's a made-up number, but no, I was not. I did leave the day after, but I always say that number is made up because every year, every holiday,
it's
the most people are going to be traveling. It's like, how do you know that? Like, how do you know if I'm going to drive or fly or just stay at home?
I suppose bookings on airlines can tell you, but the driving thing, I've always found that to be complex to try and figure that out.
It's going to be 72 million on the road on Sunday.
But that's like, the other part. You could tell me any number and I'd be likely to believe it.
Right. Because it's the holiday.
Well, we were, for the most part, local. Good to be back. Definitely forgot what day it was a couple of days ago. But, hey, that's a sign of a good holiday.
That's right.
And now it's time for three big things on Wisconsin's Midday News.
Number one, today's meeting between President Trump and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu comes as Iran's president says it's in full-scale war with the United States, Israel, and Europe. ABC's Maggie Rooley.
Iran's president is saying not only that his country is at a full-scale war with the U.S., Israel, and Europe, but also claiming that the military is stronger than it was when the U.S. and Israel targeted Iran's nuclear sites over the summer. Now, you may remember back in June, President Trump ordered an attack on three of Iran's nuclear facilities using bunker buster bombs. He initially claimed their nuclear capabilities had been totally destroyed, but the government now says some of that enriched uranium wasn't eliminated, and it's unclear how far their program was actually set back.
Well, leaders continue to discuss moving from the initial cessation of hostilities to the second phase of Trump's 20-point peace plan. And the plan includes the disarmament of Hamas and the demilitarization of Gaza and establishing a board of peace chaired by President Trump to oversee reconstruction efforts in those areas.
The flu season is in full swing and has already hit record numbers in certain areas of the country. The CDC has classified the 2025-26 season as high severity. As of mid-December, flu infections were increasing in 47 states, with Hawaii being the only state reporting a decline. ABC News medical contributor Dr. Darian Sutton says flu cases are surging in emergency rooms and offers some helpful tips.
Number one, making sure that you work to reduce your risk. That includes masking, washing our hands, making sure if you can to get your flu vaccine, and just simply understanding that the flu is so much more than a simple cold. I am treating it in the emergency room. Understand that people are coming in feeling like they are so sick that it has to be something else than the flu. It's not proving more severe overall, the same numbers, but it's severe in terms of the numbers. And by that, I mean more hospitalizations, more people in the ER.
The season is intensifying earlier than usual. The flu typically peaks in February.
Well, workers who will make the least will be making a little more in a few days. ABC's Wayne Cabot.
19 states will raise their minimum wage on January 1st, usually by a few dollars. Three more will raise it later in the year. 20 states, though, are keeping the federal minimum of just $7.25 an hour. For example, Pennsylvania. And what a difference the state line makes. Cross over into New York or New Jersey, it's more than double. Economists say it's not just the lowest earners who will get a raise. They say that when employers raise the base wage, the tide often rises up the ladder. Wayne Cabot, ABC News.
So I did a little digging on this. The highest minimum wage beginning January 1st will be in Washington, D.C., $17.95 an hour. Washington State comes in next at a rate of $17.13. And some states will actually see two wage minimum increases in 2026. California is an example. They eventually will have the highest minimum wage, but their initial jump January 1st will go to $17. Then on July 1st, the value jumps to $19.13. So that's minimum wage across the board. Wherever you're working, if you are a minimum wage employee, that is the minimum. Wisconsin remains at the federal base level of $7.25, but go around anywhere. I don't know who's paying that. or accepting it might be a better way to put it.
Yeah.
I don't know who is earning $7.25 an hour for their job.
Yeah. Especially when you see all these other states are going up. But just looking at California, for instance, you need to make that much money to live out there.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Boy, and D.C., Washington State, incredibly expensive.
Yeah. So that may actually help you just to get by with these increases. But $7.25 as a base level for federal pay. And you wonder why people aren't trying to run out and get jobs where you probably could make more doing something that doesn't involve getting the traditional employment. So, yeah, $7.25, that, come on, Wisconsin.
That is the base level. I'm not sure how many people are, employers are paying that,
yeah.
But that is the base level. Yeah. Wouldn't be surprised to see an increase before too long.
Yeah.
It's 1:14 on WTMJ. Greg and Telly with you till 3 o'clock this afternoon. It's Wisconsin's Midday News for a Monday, and it is the season of giving. If you are so inclined, consider donating blood this holiday season. Got a very cool event happening. In fact, it's just wrapping up day one. Day two scheduled for tomorrow morning, the Holiday of Hope Blood Drive at the Milwaukee County Zoo. A two-day event continues tomorrow from 7 to 1 o'clock. A family-friendly event put on by the great folks at Versity Blood Center of Wisconsin and the Milwaukee County Zoo. Chad Junning joins us, just wrapping up day one, works with Versity and coordinating the event. Hi, Chad. Welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you?
You're doing well. How did day one go?
Day one went pretty well. We still have quite a bit of openings in our schedule. We are here till 2 p.m. Today, but we are at the zoo again tomorrow from 7 a.m. to 1 o'clock p.m. with plenty of open slots available for donation as well.
Chad, can you articulate the need and importance of donating blood in Wisconsin?
So the need during the holiday season, the blood supply is very low. Reason being due to people's vacations, schedules, just trips in general, and also the cold weather keeps the donors from coming in to donate as well. And also with us having the snow this morning, with the traffic accidents and other accidents that occur throughout the community. So during the holidays, the blood donation is very low at this time, and the blood donation need is very much needed through the community.
Well, if you're out in the area of the zoo, pop in here, stop by the PEC Center and the Visitation Center, and they've got opportunities for you to donate blood until 2 o'clock. Otherwise, tomorrow from 7 to 1, you could stop by. So, Chad, who is eligible to donate at this blood drive?
So, anyone who is 16 years or older, so a 16-year-old could donate with a parent consent, written consent form, or anyone older, anyone who is healthy and well, feeling healthy and well the day of their donation, can also donate. There is no real age limit on who can donate and who can't.
And Chad, could you let us know who are the people that should check with their doctors before donating and not knowing? I mean, because you may not know that you're not eligible. So do you feel like, or do you recommend checking with your doctor to make sure that you are capable and eligible to donate?
You could check with your doctors. What we do here at the blood drive itself is we do a screening process, and then we do a mini physical on you as well with your blood pressure, pulse, hemoglobin, which is the iron level in your blood, and also your temperature. So like I said, we do a little mini physical on you as well to see if you are if you hit the criteria to donate.
Chad, what happens to the blood after it's donated? What is the cycle? Where does it go? How does it get put to use?
So during the Fraversity, all blood in the state of Wisconsin stays in the state of Wisconsin, goes to our major hospitals in the state from the Chicago State or Illinois state line all the way up to La Crosse, Greenfield, and the upper areas, Door County. It is also on most of the EMS vehicles as well. So if there is a traffic accident itself and there is a donor that needs patient that needs a blood transfusion in the field, the most of the EMS units will have that on them immediately so that a blood transfusion can be done inside the EMS vehicle.
So, Chad, you already explained that it's a physical and you'll check the blood pressure, and that's when you will be told your blood type as well. But are there certain blood types that are more in demand than others?
So right now, for blood donation, we're looking for all blood types, but we are also looking mainly at O positive and O negative. Just reason being is an O negative donor is in a donor whose blood can go to anybody, and that is the blood type that is on the EMS vehicles.
Chad Dunning joining us here. The blood drive continues tomorrow out at the zoo. It's 7 o'clock to 1. So if you are out there and you're able to sign up and donate blood, in fact, you'll receive a free same-day zoo admission ticket for a future visit and a little gift card to treat yourself after a holiday season. So nice partnership here with the zoo, Chad. Speaking from your own experience, the idea of donating, be it organs, blood, something along that line, you know firsthand how this works, how impactful it can be.
Yes, I do. I am true to our mission. I am actually a 11-year liver transplant recipient. So someone did help me save my life 11 years ago. So blood donation and organ donation is huge in my mission and the reason why I'm at Versity.
Chad, could you kind of take away some of the hesitance of people that wanting to donate? I know that a lot of people may want to, or there's some that may want to, but have a fear of needles and maybe other things that may kind of pretty much scare them away from doing it. Can you just tell them how easy and simple the process and painless the process is?
Sure. So once you sign the registration form, you go into our tech area where we do the mini physical and we do the questionnaire in our registration area. And then our excellent staff would walk you through that process as well and get your supplies ready. And then they would take you out to the donation floor where our experienced phlebotomists would be talking to you the whole entire time. Keeping a conversation with you to make that blood donation process
well,
as possible.
If you can't make it out there today until 2 o'clock, they have some open appointments. Get out there tomorrow if you can, between 7 and 1. Hop out to the zoo, donate blood for a great cause at a very important time of the year. Chad Dunning joining us from Versity is helping coordinate efforts here at the blood drive with the zoo. Chad, appreciate it. Thanks for shedding some insight on the day and the event.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you for supporting and getting this out to our community. So, like I said, there's hope in our blood, and you never know whose life you're going to save.
Oh, well said. Chad Dunning joining us here on WTMJ. It's 1:23. You much of a skier at all?
No.
Okay, well, I don't know that I'd say I'm a skier. I like to ski, but I don't plan trips around skiing. I've been out to Denver and skied out in Colorado and a couple of different places. I have fun, but I do know this. I know that Telluride, Colorado would be an incredible place to go skiing. I've been to Telluride. It's a very remote area in Colorado. It's not the easiest place to get to. It is a ski lover's paradise. It's just a beautiful, beautiful area. Imagine making that trip out to Telluride. Not easy to get to, not cheap. You got the resort all booked, ready to go, and no lifts.
In the Colorado ski town of Telluride, the slopes are closed indefinitely. Last week, the 78-member Telluride Professional Ski Patrol Association voted to go on strike as they hold out for higher wages. They want a 3-year contract and a median wage increase of $8 an hour. The cost of living in Colorado ski towns has skyrocketed while wages have remained flat. The median cost of a home in Telluride is over $3.8 million. The Telluride Resort says it will be shut down until it comes up with a plan to safely open again. Alex Stone, EBC News.
Yeah, unless it's like a rental situation, you know, not many who are working at the, you know, the ski lifts or the resort are probably living in Telluride. There are some neighboring mountain towns you could probably live in. It's like one road in, one road out. It's like a valley, but it's just stunning. It's beautiful. But that's where you go to ski, right? Many areas in Colorado, but this is a destination area. No more. Shut down for a little while.
Yeah, Telluride sounds a lot like everywhere else in America right now. Yeah. Everything's going up, but your salary isn't. And if you're known for that, you have to make sure you keep that image up and keep up that persona of if people come all the way here and it's tough to get here, you want them to have an experience. You don't want them to get there like, well, we don't have enough workers today because of this, and you won't be able to do this or do that. So I think you find a way. We've already talked about minimum wages going up for a lot of states, and I think you have to come up with the times. You can't say, oh, we're going to continue to do all this, but we're going to continue to pay you the same. Doesn't work that way.
I guess you do have some backup options here. I hear Aspen is nice and Vail. Breckenridge is beautiful.
Yeah, that's what they say.
Maybe pop out to Montana, some big sky country skiing. Utah is very nice, of course, this
but
time of year.
But what if this is your spot, though? I know. Yeah, what if this is your spot? You all of a sudden hear that they don't want to give workers an increase in pay. Therefore, your experience and what you are used to and have grown accustomed to, it won't be that way the next time you go. If that means fewer towels in your hotel, if it means whatever. But you don't want your experience jeopardized because they don't want to pay their workers.
Well, the taverns might be full, but the slopes are certainly not at this point. Well, I had a bunch of advisories and warnings and stuff to be alert of early this morning. It was a very strange morning. I was driving out of my subdivision. It looked like Siberia with the wind blowing around. It was kind of crazy, right? It was one of those days where I didn't expect to see any plows. There wasn't really any snow to plow, but it was starting to blow and drift and make things just slick enough. Mm-hmm. Well, now we're through the warnings and advisories, but still very windy outside. We welcome in TMJ4 Chief Meteorologist Brian Nisnansky. Niz, there's no more wind advisory, but gusts still up to, 45 miles an hour. What takes a wind advisory away? That still seems pretty windy to me.
Well, if we're going to still get to 45, that would reach advisory criteria. Maybe not as frequent with those in the afternoon, which is why the Weather Service pulling the plug on that. But I would say in general, the winds will be lighter this afternoon versus what we had this morning where, I don't know, I lost a couple Christmas decorations went down last night and into this morning. I got a toppled couple deer tree thing and even the abominable snow monsters on the ground.
Oh no.
That's
anything but that.
Yeah, right?
No, you're right though. The threshold, to answer your question, Greg, the threshold is usually 40, 45 miles per hour for a wind advisory. So we're just like right on the fringe of that. Yeah.
So, Niz, is this a front that's coming through that's bringing in all this wind and cold and is going to move out? Or is this something that we're going to have to get used to for the next 5-7 days?
No, I mean, there will be times of wind, but this is definitely we've already passed the peak winds and it's still going to be windy today. What we had yesterday was an area of low pressure, very strong area of low pressure that even intensified as it passed us. So that's what brought the wraparound snow last night. The area of low pressure dropped a ton of pressure as it worked its way across lower Michigan. And while us being on the west side of it with high pressure to the west of us, to sum it up is we have a big change in pressure. They call that a pressure gradient. And pressure gradient is the direct reason for wind. It's what causes wind. Change in pressure causes wind, and that's where we find ourselves today. Now, as that area of low pressure advances to the east, which it will, then our pressure gradient won't be as great, and it will still be breezy, but not as strong as today.
So what's a bomb cyclone? Were we supposed to get one of those? Did somebody else get one of those?
Yeah, I'll have to look up the specifics, but a bomb cyclone, I'm trying to remember offhand how many millibars a low-pressure system has to drop. It's a rapid drop in low pressure. And if this didn't technically reach it, I apologize, I don't have the specifics on it. If it didn't technically reach it, it was very, very close. But you need a specific amount of drop in low pressure to achieve bomb cyclone status. Now, you may be wondering, why don't I know that number? Because I think those names, I think we talked about this before, polar vortex, bomb cyclone, I don't know, atmospheric river even, are all kind of silly names. You know what I mean? Like, Newton did not create, bomb cyclone. You know, there's the difference between, hydrostatic equations and things of that nature. Excuse me, now I'm paying for what I'm saying. But, no, I'm just not a huge fan of these names that I think are used to kind of dramatize certain weather events.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Sounds awesome.
So we made it through Christmas. It was cool. It wasn't a white Christmas, but it wasn't, yeah, you know, too crappy. What do we have in store for New Year's Eve? And there's going to be a lot of people, the party goers and things. So is it going to be, or how's it going to be moving around?
Yeah. So less wind. I mean, it still will be breezy at times. And there's a couple chances for some light snow showers. Could even see, obviously, some this afternoon. Again, tomorrow evening. And then those snow shower chances are actually with a couple different cold fronts. And that cold front is really going to drive in some colder air again for New Year's. If you're heading out New Year's Eve at night, it looks like maybe some teens, if not single digits, and wind chills approaching zero. Certainly when you wake up New Year's Day, if you're heading to a brunch, it will be cold that morning as well. Nothing crazy. Nothing, I think, that even gets us to cold weather advisory criteria. But we could get some wind chills below zero to ring in the new year.
People don't like wearing coats on New Year's, Niz. This usually corresponds with cold and flu season, right? You see a little spike. People aren't going to work on Friday.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, no, they'll probably extend it all the way into the following week. Oh, man, my kids, they're on, like, I don't know, their eighth day already. They got another eight more to go with their break. I'll be heading into the office here very shortly doing the evening newscast. But you're right. It's when people go out and they want to look their best, they probably don't think about their heaviest parka. But yeah, you should be planning on dressing as warm as possible for New Year's Eve.
Good stuff, Niz. We'll check in again tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of your day.
All right, guys. We'll see you.
All right. Take care. 143 in WTMJ. Coming up next, you may have missed this from over the weekend. Giannis did what and then said what? Don't miss it. It's after this. So you may have missed it on Saturday night, but after missing eight games with a calf strain, Giannis returned to the Bucks starting lineup against the Bulls, game being played in Chicago Saturday night as the Packers were playing the Ravens. The Bucks were not good without Giannis. They were 2-6, and they were in desperate need of a feel-good win, and they got it. But the way the game ended sparked a bit of controversy. With the Bucks leading 110-103 in the closing seconds, hear how Giannis closed the game out.
Giannis takes off the other way, hammers it home, a little exclamation point with 1.9 seconds to go. And he's going to hear it from the fans here at United Center as he adds a little salt to the wound in this rivalry as the Bucks close it on a 12-3 run and now pushing and shoving at midcourt. The Bulls did not appreciate that. Security is out there now. The rivalry is on here from the Windy City.
Dave Kane with the call on WTMJ. Could hear the boos, right? It's Giannis. No defense. He just took the ball at half court. There was no member of the Chicago Bulls on the side of the court that Giannis was dribbling into. He just hammers home a windmill dunk slam just before the clock expires.
And you know what my response is to that when you say there's no one on that end of the court. Who fault is that?
Well, yeah, right. You could have stopped them. I'm guessing they didn't anticipate Giannis would do that. But you had some members, some veteran members of the Bulls meeting Giannis at half court. They exchanged some words. There was a little bit of shoving. But
so yeah, stupid.
Really nothing to be made of it. So in the world of the NBA, if you have a sizable lead like the Bucks did at that juncture of the game, just a few seconds left,
you're supposed to dribble it out and take a turnover as opposed to add two more points to humiliate them more. I still don't get that, but I know that's just how it goes, but I don't understand it.
So, right, the unwritten rules of the NBA were at play here, right, where some veteran members of the Bulls are like, come on, dude, what are you doing? You had the game won. Did you really need to do that? But Giannis had something else in mind. What he did was very strategic and, I think, very smart.
Just got to keep finding our identity. And if that's to, you know, get a little bit of scrappy at the end, so be it. Like, we're not the champs. Like, why should we have, like, play the clock out and have respect and fair play? Like, we fighting for our lives right now. This is real talk. I've been 13 years in the league. If we keep on losing, brother, this is probably half of the team not going to be here. We're not going to make the playoffs. Like, I really don't care. At the end of the day, I just want to be available, be healthy, help my team win. And if that's what has to happen for them to everybody to wake up and understand, like, we fight for our lives, if we got to get our hands dirty, so be it.
There are 30 teams in the NBA. 20 teams will qualify for the postseason. If the season ended today, the Bucks would not be one of those teams. Yeah. And the talks of a Giannis trade would only intensify, as if there hasn't been enough of that. The dunk was not disrespect to the Bulls. The dunk was a wake-up call for the Bucks, a struggling team who finally got their leader back, who is boldly, with that dunk, asking the question, who is really with me?
Yeah. I agree with that, and I like that, and honestly, I could care less about what the Bulls feel about Giannis having a meaningless dunk at the end, because, again, what is that going to do? Well, next time we play you, we're going to get you back for that dunk. Now, I mean, I'm trying to look up the score. The final score was
112-103.
Okay, so that wasn't a 9-point dunk, was it?
No.
Oh, okay.
It was not a game-saving dunk by any stretch.
Yeah, so, again, who cares about what the Bulls feel about Giannis doing a windmill dunk at the end of the game? Because that was more about sending the message to his team. And hopefully, if he didn't do it with the dunk, with that post-game, those comments, he reassured them that, hey, if we're going to do this, let's do this. We're not, like, why are we trying to be all nice and friendly and, oh, we're going to dribble the clock out and we're just happy to get the win? Like, at what point do you send a message saying, hey, we are for real, I'm back, and I'm back to try and win, not to be back just to cool down the trade talks? So I'm all for it. I like it, and I really give Giannis a lot of props for thinking about that in that moment. You know how many other things you're thinking about in an NBA game? And so for him to be intentional and purposely do that, I give Giannis a lot of credit, because that, to me, if nothing else, shows that he's a leader.
About his future in Milwaukee, if the Bucks continue to stumble, what does that mean for Giannis? He was asked that question after the game.
I'm here. Don't ask me that question. I'm here. It's disrespectful towards myself and my teammate. I wear that jersey every single day. Disrespectful towards the organization, my coaching staff, myself, and all the people that work hard for me to come out here and say, I don't want to be here. Don't ask me that question. I'm here. I'm putting on the jersey. And as long as I'm here, I'm going to give everything I have, even in the last second of the game.
I have no doubt about that. Giannis is maybe the hardest player any sport that I've ever watched play. He gets more out of every dribble in a game. He gives it, no doubt. If he's healthy, he is on the floor, he is giving it.
Yeah.
But still, the Bucks are 13-19.
Yeah.
This is a non-playoff team with a healthy Giannis. Then I think the Bucks have an issue here in the offseason with Giannis' future. But for now, it's about reversing that record, getting back into the playoff mix, trying to make a run.
Yeah.
They can't do it without Giannis. They definitely need him, but that was a wake-up call to his team. That slam dunk was not disrespect to the Bulls. Sorry if you took it that way in Chicago.
Yeah.
That was a wake-up call to the Bucks.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also think, too, Giannis got some coaching up on his media savvy as well. And because the whole not saying anything about it, that's not the best way to go about it, because it's not as if you're just a regular player and you say, oh, they'll stop talking about me. You are the Milwaukee Bucks at this point, and they're going to continue to ask you that question. So for him to just address it the way that he did, now he doesn't have to answer that anymore if he doesn't choose to. Or he could just say, hey, didn't I tell you the last time? I'm done answering that. So just go back and replay my old answer. It's going to be the same answer today. And so I like that. That's taking ownership. That's getting out and not allowing others to create your narrative. You know what's going on. If you feel like you want to be traded, or if you don't want to be traded, you could say that. You don't have to just say, well, I'm not going to say anything, and you don't know what's going on. Because the more you don't say anything, the more it gives people an opportunity to add their own storylines to it. And, hey, Giannis didn't greet his teammates in the huddle after that last timeout. He doesn't really want to be here, because they're going to dissect everything you do, all your body languages, how you act, even how you come warm up. You know, well, Giannis didn't warm up as hard as he did, before. Does he still want to be here? So everything is going to be questioned. But for you to come out and say that, I think that's really going to help this team, not just him, but this team moving forward.
Bucks will be in Charlotte tonight. They are in Charlotte tonight to take on Con Knipple and the Hornets. You can hear that game right here on WTMJ with coverage beginning at 5:30.